And Tommy Hottovy is going to go to the mound to buy a little time, perhaps, for Miller. All of his teammates are coming around him. And I think this might be it for Kyle Hendricks. He is getting a hug from Tommy Hottovy, and the fans now realize Kyle is going to walk away, and when he does, I'm just going to let you hear the crowd and the thunderous ovation, and here it comes.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the Great Clip of the Week. It's brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's going to be great. And 83 is where the Cubs finished. 83 victories.
83.
By most accounts, the...
Disappointing season.
Well, the 83.5 was the over-under for the year, so it's an under.
Yeah, I don't know about Vegas, but in Chicago, disappointing season. And that was a special moment, though. Tommy Hottovy was coaxed into going to the mound, and Craig Counsell let him remove Kyle Hendricks with one out in the eighth. Great moment at Wrigley Field for the professor, who deserves all the praise, as Pat Hughes said so eloquently. And Tommy Hottovy was asked afterward about it, and he said, you know, he didn't know what he was doing. That wasn't really planned. They planned on taking Hendricks out, but not him being the one doing it. Just a good moment. But from the Cubs' perspective, that was probably the last good moment. They lost on Sunday. 83 victories means that they weren't good enough to get in the playoffs, and that's all that it's about for a team that has not won a playoff game since 2017.
We should let you know you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. It's presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And want to remind you to stay tuned, because at 10 o'clock we will have the debut of Bernstein and Harris here on The Score. Dan Bernstein and Marshall Harris will continue the reaction to the Bears game. They'll be joined by Anthony Herron at 11. Sure, he knows a lot about Tory Taylor and Dan Wiederer at noon. That was a reference to Iowa football.
Yeah, it was. Thanks. And a good one.
What did you think of the White Sox? I don't know if everyone is aware, but the White Sox ended up winning five of their last six games of the year. So while they did lose 121 games, which is the worst ever in the history of Major League Baseball, they did win 41 games. So that win total, 41 and 121, that would be a 253 winning percentage. And the Mets at 40 and 120 before the extra couple games, they still have a 250 win percentage. So technically, Sox with the better season.
Yeah, that's funny. Technicality. It's a forgettable year, but you can't really forget it, because it made history the wrong kind of history.
Oh, yeah.
Winning five out of six says that they fought to the end. They were competitive. They took pride in their work, whatever you want to say. But Friday night in Detroit was the 121st loss, and it was just difficult to watch A.J. Hinch, the manager they wanted to hire, celebrate with Jason Benetti in the clubhouse. For certain Sox fans, they looked at that as two guys that they wished were still in Chicago, or wished they were in Chicago trying to, you know, win a division in a division that's just gotten tougher than ever. Molly, look at the playoffs, which start tomorrow. The Royals, the Guardians, and the Tigers are all in the playoffs. The Twins aren't, because they had a colossal choke job. But those four teams, the gap between Chicago and the South Side, the White Sox, and those other four teams, much more than the city and the distance between those four cities.
Well, hold on a second, because you're forgetting, that the chairman, Jerry Reinsdorf, had a letter to the fans that was released yesterday, and everything's going to be okay.
He did release a letter to the fans. I wonder if he will make himself available to questions, as he suggested he would, when they hire a manager, when they get to the point where they're looking ahead. The letter was full of an explanation and a, I don't say it, an apology.
Full of what?
An explanation.
Oh.
It said there were no excuses. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to show it. And now the White Sox, who we have no reason to believe are going to be active in free agency, need to spend like they mean what Jerry Reinsdorf said. If they are going to be competitive again, and they're going to start that path back, I think that they need to show it, whether that means pursuing free agents that could help immediately, extending Garrett Crochet instead of trading him, whatever the case is, they need to show it more than say it.
Yeah, I it's interesting because I did not read that letter. I did read the letter, but I didn't read it as in lieu of a media session. Here's the letter. I think that Jerry still needs to face the media, needs to face some hard questions, and needs to answer for what happened this year.
Well, I hope so.
I hope it's not. I hope that that statement, that letter, isn't misinterpreted as somehow his no longer needing to talk to the public.
I don't think it should.
I agree.
And I don't think it can. And if you look at the letter specifically, it states to the fans.
Yes.
So when Jerry Reinsdorf wants to speak to the fans, I think he has every right to, as a chairman, to release a statement. And these are his words and his vow or whatever you want to, however you want to describe it. But what he does when you're appearing at a news conference is that is maybe you're talking to the fans through the media, the conduit between the fans and the newsmakers. But I think that it's a different dynamic because there are questions that he has to address and be asked. And I think you can start with the baseball direction, but you don't stop there because there's a lot going on with the 78. Yep. There's a lot going on with the related Midwest and the plan to build a ballpark in the South Loop. Those are the kinds of things that when you face questioning, you have to address or at least give people a chance to ask those questions.
I also think that he needs to go beyond an apology to the fans. There should be an apology to the game. I think that, you know, Jerry describes himself as a fan of baseball and a fan of the White Sox. If you're apologizing to Sox fans, you ought to apologize to anybody involved in Major League Baseball for the horrible season that you inflicted on your opponents, the number of victories that you gave away to people. I just think it's a real embarrassment and a real shameful situation, and it's not enough to just write to the fans and say, hey, we're going to get better.
Well, there are too many games that offended people's baseball sensibilities. Yeah. Everybody can agree on that. What happens now is that the managerial search continues in earnest. I think that Grady Sizemore will be part of that. I don't know that he will get the job. I wonder if after a season like this, you want to just purge everything in terms of the on-field product. That may not be fair to Grady Sizemore, who I think acquitted himself pretty well over the past 40 games or so. And he is a candidate, according to Chris Getz. But I do think you need experience either running a team or experience being around a winning organization.
Well, in the letter, Jerry says they're going outside the organization and that he talks about how big a hire this is. I don't know that you could just promote someone that you had fill in because you're a horrible manager that helped you lose all those games in a row because you wanted to prove something and stay with him, and then you come up a game short. I just don't know that that's the answer.
I don't either. And let's be
honest
here.
And I'm not picking on him.
I look at the manager's role in next season's success or failure as being a small part of the equation.
Exactly.
It's a very small part of it. Look, let's go back to what I think we said and I suggested back when the job became available. You have an opportunity here as a White Sox front office ownership group to chart the course for climbing out of this pit you've dug for yourself. Mm-hmm. This is a true rebuild. And Kim Eng is available. I don't know if she's interested, but she's an executive that you could bring in if you want to add to your front office, as that letter suggests they will. Also, Skip Schumacher is the reigning National League Manager of the Year. He just got fired because they have contractual difficulties or disagreement down in Florida. That would be a good conversation, at least to start. Now, you don't stop there. You want to know if people with experience would come to Chicago, work for what you would pay them, which my guess is not be as much as some other places, and take over a job that is immense in terms of a rebuild. I don't know who you're going to get that's qualified that fits the criteria, but you could at least ask, and these are the conversations they need to have.
And maybe improve the plane so they don't have to sit and coach. I don't know. I'm just wondering what they're going to do. But, yeah, they ended 41-121.
This is definitely an organization in need of an overhaul.
Yes.
Every aspect of it.
Yes.
And I think that you're suggesting with the team plane was the metaphor used by Ken Rosenthal and Brittany Garoli, I believe, from The Athletic. And it was a terrific way to start a story about all of the things that are wrong with the White Sox and how they have let this slide and lapse into the point where they are now. They presided over the worst season in Major League history. I don't care about the Mets winning percentage. This was the worst season in Major League history.
The Mets and the Braves have a doubleheader today, and it's real simple. One win by the Mets or one win by the Braves, they're in the playoffs. The Diamondbacks need one team to sweep in order for them to make the playoffs. What's interesting is that I believe Chris Sale is scheduled to pitch the second game. I would imagine, David, if Atlanta wins the first game, you're going to save Chris Sale for the playoffs.
Yes.
I don't think there'd be really any doubt about that. None.
And nobody should question the baseball integrity of the game. You are the Atlanta Braves.
Yes.
You've got one obligation, to try to win as many playoff games, go as deep in the postseason as possible.
Yes.
Saving Chris Sale for game one is job one.
If indeed you win the first game, there would be no need to start Chris Sale because – why would you care
what happens
with Arizona? You're in.
Who cares?
I agree. No, you care about winning a playoff game, and you're more likely to do so with Chris Sale than not. So, yeah, integrity of the game.
The integrity of the game is not inconsequential or not unimportant, but your obligation to your own fan base and the players in that clubhouse and your organization is greater than that.